I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mr. Silverstein?
That's me, Silverstein, but you can go with Steen if you want to have fun with it.
I had a 50-50 shot and I missed it. Silverstein, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you are a lawyer in Michigan.
And, correct, sir.
We wanted to talk to you about a proposed law in Missouri. But the reason that your name came up is because I actually saw you being interviewed in an article about this proposed bill in the Missouri legislature. And, you know, you're a lawyer, so you know, you're smart enough to understand this stuff.
Where are you in Michigan?
I'm actually my office is in Bingham Farms, which is like a little suburb outside of Detroit. I'm about 5 minutes from the Detroit border.
Huh. Isn't Bingham Farms like Ann Arbor? Didn't you guys do like a big Christmas lights thing years ago?
No. Ann Arbor is about 40 minutes away from here.
Bingham Farms. I'm from Livonia originally, but I must have my directions all confused.
Oh, well, if you're from Livonia, just think Southfield.
Oh, okay. I actually went to broadcast school in Southfield. What do you think about that, huh?
That's actually pretty damn cool. I had a little radio show when I was an undergrad at Purdue.
Right.
But I got thrown off the air, so unfortunately it didn't last very long.
That's where all the best ones come. I went to Churchill High School. And I got kicked out of the radio and TV program, and he told me I'd never amount to anything, which was halfway true, but I am doing this for a living.
They actually told me that I was too offensive, and they made me sign something.
That's what they said to me.
Yeah, they made me sign something to say that I wouldn't do any more radio shows and that I would never live in the dorms again. So
you're like an alternate universe of me who actually studied.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Well, define study.
I love the idea of someone making you sign a contract like, now you're fired, but also you got to promise you're never going to do this again. We don't want you to do this again.
For them, it was, they thought they were making the smart move. They sent me right off into the Greek system where I, ran terror for 3.5 years.
Right.
So I was like, it was their fault.
Well, Mr. Silverstein, attorney at law,
yes.
We appreciate your time because one of the things that we wanted to talk to you about was, I don't remember how long ago it was that we first heard about these age verification proposals, and Louisiana, I think was the first state to enact one of these laws that said, hey, we want adult content on websites to be filtered. And if people want to see it, they are going to have to provide some sort of verification of their age. The way Louisiana went about it, and I could be remembering this wrong, but basically you would get like this ID. The ID did not say your name or address or those things. It basically gave you a new, it's like a number, like a social security number, but it's not social security. It's just a new number that you type into these websites. I don't know if you give it to your ISP or to the individual website. And then it says, okay, yeah, you are old enough. And the idea being, you know, you're protecting some privacy, but also we're helping to keep kids from accessing, you know, things that most people would agree they probably shouldn't be
material,
accessing.
Right?
Yeah, adult content. But now a lot of other states have we didn't even realize this till the other day. It seems like quite a few states have followed their lead, because there was a story about Texas that came up a few days ago. Pornhub said that they were, is boycotting the right word, Texas? They were not going to allow access in Texas because of this age restriction law that they've got going there. And we're in Kansas City, so we're on the border here of Kansas and Missouri. And when we were looking up the stories about these different states, we actually found out for the very first time that looks like Missouri's up to something. And Missouri's got proposed bill that actually they've had several, it looks like, trying to restrict access. Or, you know, I guess, is that the right way of saying restrict access to kids? And depending on who proposes the bill, from what I read last, there was at least one Democrat who had tried to do something and a few Republicans who'd done something. They all have very different ways of going about it. So if we all agree that, you know, for the most part, that it'd probably be best if kids didn't have access to hardcore pornography. When I was a kid before the internet, I don't think there was a big push that said, why do they limit porn magazines and porn videos to 18 and older? You know, we should let, it's free speech. That wasn't a thing. Everyone sort of agreed like, yeah, that's probably best that, you know, you have to be 18 to get into those stores or buy those magazines or videos.
Not me at 16.
Well,
that was a horrible idea.
Right. Of course. Yeah, it's true. The people who were under 18, right, especially the boys, we did not like that.
So tell us in general, what's going on?
Well, you did pretty good there. I mean, you know, if when you guys are done, you know, being radio celebrities, if you want to jump into the legal field, I got plenty of space for you over here.
I have always wanted to do it, but that is a long, hard road of college, sir.
Well, some states don't require the college. Just pass the bar. Find a state where you just have to pass
the
bar.
Seems hard.
It does still seem too hard.
If you actually drink as much as you can through it, it goes by much faster.
Well, that is going to be no problem, sir.
Got that part covered.
Time just flies right by. You're actually spot on. The summation you gave is spot on. It was Louisiana that started this ridiculous chain that we're kind of dealing with right now. The premise is spot on. I actually love the fact that you guys started by saying that, look, do anyone, you know, want children being exposed to hardcore sexual content? No, of course not. Let's put it out there. But unfortunately, what these laws have done and where the direction of all this is going is just way too far. And it's, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to swear on your show or not. But
absolutely.
We prefer it.
Oh, great. Okay, great. Well, it's shitting all over the First Amendment. And the very politicians, you know, when they took office and swore to uphold and protect the Constitution, they seem to be forgetting that little thing called the First Amendment, because they are pissing all over it. And what they're doing is absolutely the wrong way to go. It is a absolute attack on individual rights and individual free speech. And the adult entertainment industry has, you know, always been a little bit of a disadvantage, because it's hard for them to fight back. You know, it's not like the, you know, if they were the pharmacy lobbyist group and they had zillions of dollars to be able to, you know, rally over to Congress to stop things like this. The adult entertainment industry doesn't have the resources like that. And so, unfortunately, what we're seeing right now is we're seeing right-wing politicians. And the Democrats are going along with it also, because, look, let's be honest, guys. What Democrat, or what politician, if they have a microphone in their face and gets asked the question, oh, so do you guys support children watching pornography?
Right.
What the hell are they going to say?
Right. There's no way to really get around it, because exactly what you're saying is, as we consume politics, now in this country in sound bites. So that's it would be impossible to explain your thoughts on the First Amendment and pornography in a 30-second clip on Fox News or MSNBC. It's almost like, you know, and when you went to college, you know, if you can't explain your business plan in 30 seconds or less, if you can't give it an elevator speech, then it's fucked. And it's almost like there's no nuance now. So if you're a politician, you're just like, yeah, I don't like porno and I want kids to see it. But I don't know how else you, I don't know how else you respond.
Well, that's exactly what, I mean, and that's exactly what it is. And what you've got here is you've got politicians who very much, the politicians that start these things are from the far right. They are very much, you know, supported and are trying to support their far right religious causes, which are obviously and historically anti-pornography. And, you know, these guys have frankly gotten completely out of control with it. And, you know, I understand that politicians have a career and that, you know, part of their career is keeping their constituents happy so that they can re-win elections and so forth. But it's not supposed to happen at the expense of the most important part of United States freedoms. You know, you talk to anybody, it doesn't matter where you go in the world. Everybody knows what the First Amendment is. They might not know what the rest of the amendments are or the Constitution is, but you ask them what the First Amendment is, they know what it is. And these politicians that are taking the position that, well, we're going to decide who gets to see what, I can't think of anything more of a slap in the face to the First Amendment than this sort of law. It's atrocious what's going on.
So can I ask you a question, a serious question? I'm not trying to joke here. Were we shitting on the Constitution before internet, you know, pre-internet days? Were we shitting on the Constitution by restricting access to adults, requiring people to be 18 years or older to get into a porn shop or to buy pornography?
I think there's a difference. I think there's a little bit of a difference, and you also have to understand that you guys were talking earlier about something that I grew up in. I grew up the same way. I grew up going to the barber shop, and when you went to the barber shop, there was a Playboy and a Penthouse line right there. Mm-hmm. You know, whoever I was at the barber shop with was getting their hair cut, and I'm flipping through the damn centerfolds. This was a different world. The internet didn't exist, so you didn't have the ability where anyone from a phone that's in their pocket or a computer that's on their desk that they could literally just boot up, click a couple buttons and bang, they had access to it. The world has completely changed. So I think it's a difficult analogy to make. I don't have an issue per se with, you know, the way things were regulated in terms of needing to be a certain age before being able to purchase a magazine and, you know, early 90s is when, you know, the ending of the print stuff started. It's a different world we live in now. And this is what people, you know, need to realize. You know, the entire notion of like, okay, well, you know, someone's going to grab their magazine collection of Playboys or Penthouses or whatever. That just doesn't exist anymore. And that world doesn't exist. The real question that I believe that we should be asking ourselves is, since when did we invite the government into our homes to dictate to us how parents are going to raise their children? The fact is that, look, I'm a dad. I'm not sure about you two guys, but, you know, I'm guessing one of you must have a
dad. I am. I have two boys.
So you got two boys. I have a girl. And look, as a parent, I think about this question and I'm like, okay, do I want, you know, my 11-year-old daughter, do I want her looking at certain things? No, I don't. So what do? Well, we have an amazing little device that everybody else can have access to, where before my daughter can download an app or go to a website, me and my wife get a little ding on our cell phone, and we have to give approval before my daughter can go and look at that particular website or download that app. And we do what I believe is responsible parenting. The notion that now we're entering this phase where we're going to say, all right, fuck the parents having to do this, and forgive me for swearing, but now what we're going to do is we're going to force, and we're going to have laws that are going to make companies do certain things. Otherwise, they could face horrendous attorney general actions and fines and everything else. It's ridiculous. We've gone loco here, guys. And this is where I wish that there was more individuals such as yourselves. I'm thrilled to be on your show today.
We're thrilled to have you.
Because, because you guys are talking about something that so many people are afraid to talk about, because they're afraid that if they talk about it, they're going to be stigmatized. They're afraid that if they talk about adult entertainment, they're going to they're going to get somehow labeled or you know, be called a pervert or whatever the fuck it is. But, you know, I'll tell you something funny. A long time ago, I had an idea, and I said, okay, for any one of these politicians that want to play this game and they want to say that government is the one that's going to say what you can look at, I think they should have to upload their browser history for the whole damn world to see. Right. I would love to see what they've looked at. I would love
now,
to
would
see
their,
what websites they've
Would their seen. Argument be, and I'm just to play devil's advocate.
No, it's okay.
Would their argument be, it doesn't matter what my browser says, it's what my kid's browser says. I'm not saying adults can't look at whatever they want. What I am saying is that my kid can't.
The problem is that's not what they're saying.
Okay.
Because they're trying to control the narrative. The way these laws are being passed is they're not giving websites a choice. A lot of websites are being left with no choice, but they're having to block and just geo-block an entire state. So, for example, state of Texas, Attorney General Paxton has been a very busy boy recently. He filed a lawsuit against Pornhub, and then 3 days, not even 3 days ago, was it 3 days ago? 2 days ago, within 48 hours, he's filed similar lawsuits against websites called Chatterbait and Xhamster.
I know them well.
Now,
and I browse those today. Just right. That's research for this this interview.
That's right.
And now I'm going to tell you something. Okay, I've been representing clients in this industry for 15 years plus, and I'm going to let you guys in and the rest of the world in on a little secret. We don't want kids looking at our content. We're not interested in that. These platforms have zero interest in children seeing their content, and they have spent combined millions of dollars stopping it.
And that is interesting. It's not like the cigarette companies, right? Because the cigarette companies, you could say, no, they did have an interest in getting kids hooked. I mean, those things were believable. No, they were trying to target kids. But I think it's reasonable if you say that the porno industry does not want kids looking at that stuff, that I could believe that.
I could believe it. I would also maybe hedge, and now, look, you've dealt with them. I could maybe hedge, again, to play devil's advocate, that they don't give a fuck. It's all about clicks. It's all about streams. Yeah. Like, you know, hey, if a kid gets in, whatever, it is what it is. I just need streams.
See, and the nice thing, though, is we're having this conversation on your show right now, because we can't have this conversation on CNN or any of those channels because they're not interested in talking about it. It's too risque. It's too dirty. But I'm telling you, as an attorney who represents some of the largest adult entertainment companies in the world, that we are talking literally constantly about this issue. We don't want children. They don't want it.
Because
they,
this type of shit happens.
And also, I would think, as I said, the streams, and you say that, I also kind of kick around like, okay, it is all about streams and clicks. That's how they make money. They certainly don't want children because now we have to talk about
this
shit.
Like, this is happening.
It ain't worth the end game for them, because unlike cigarettes, if I don't get you hooked early, you may never smoke. Fact of the matter is, I don't have to get you hooked early. You're going to look at porno. Like, I mean, that's just it.
Right.
Welcome to the real world, gentlemen. The fact is that sexual curiosity starts developing in human beings at a very early age.
Right.
And they're going to learn it. They're going to learn about it in school. They're going to learn about it from, I mean, shit. What was my first experience with pornography was, again, sitting at the barber shop, and I think there was a Penthouse magazine sitting there, and I was probably, 11, 12 at the time. Now, again, do I want my child, exposed to this stuff at this age? Absolutely not. But again, do I want the government now putting a wall and saying, but you got to think about this. What the government is doing is they're restricting everybody. See, so if you're in the state of Texas and you try to go to a website now, before, if you're an adult, before you get to see what it is you want to look at, you can't see it now anymore. Why? Because the law that they've created is so overbroad and such a mess that companies can't comply with what they do. And that's what they wanted. See, they want to yell and scream that this was all about protecting minors, but it's not. This is about content restriction. This is about trying to stop what they view as inappropriate content. They want to be the authors. And so now the reason why you have major companies that have now had to pull out of these states, and, you know, if you're in the state of Texas right now and you try to go to Pornhub, as of the last time I checked, you'll see that you get a page saying that, you know, unfortunately, we can't provide you with the service. Because complying with these laws is, first of all, damn near impossible, so expensive, and it frankly just walks you into even more litigation. And so, but they know this. And,
okay,
and
let me ask you a question, because I'm getting a little bit lost with the idea behind it. So
that's okay.
All right, so you just dumb it down for me. Texas says, hey, you need this card, and or Louisiana, whatever state, right? You need this card. You get this anonymous card. It's got a number. You put this anonymous number into Pornhub, then you can look at porno.
Texas doesn't have that system set up yet. Okay. Louisiana did. Texas does not. Texas, what you really have to do is you have to use some sort of commercially reasonable methods that aren't thoroughly explained. And in fact, one of the very common age verification methods that people were using, which was called an age verification estimator, was recently shot down in the courts in California. So one of the few technologies that actually existed that could fulfill these requirements was shot down as being insufficient. They know this. The government knows this. The states that are pushing these bills and these laws know this, and it's because they want to do exactly what Pornhub just did. They want to push these companies to just stop offering online pornography in their states. That's what this is all about.
Okay, real quick. Is there in-game then just the religious wing of their party and to get those votes?
I would think that the negative would outweigh the positive.
Yeah, I would think so,
they're,
too.
The Republicans masturbate, too. And right. Eventually they're going to be like, hey, I might not say it publicly, but I'm mad right now, and right. I might not vote for him.
Like I said to you before, I would love to have to get one of the conservative people or one of the people that are sponsored this bill on your show and have them give us their browser history for the last 3 years. But it'll never happen. But that's neither here nor there. What the real issue here, and this is the real issue that nobody wants to talk about, is this is all about a strong, strong push from the far religious right to eliminate what they view as unacceptable for religious reasons, moral reasons, whatever, and that is to eliminate pornography from the internet. That's what the real goal is here. They can sit in a room and argue with me and tell me this is about protecting children all day long. I'm not buying what they're selling.
So you think that is the bigger cause here? Because I feel like the thing that I hear the most, the biggest concern from people is privacy concerns. Will these websites have to report? So if I'm in Louisiana, even though it's just an ID, well, the government knows whose number that is. So does Pornhub have to then, you know, send that number to, hey, we verified it, right, and here's the number, and here's where he logged in? And I don't know the answers to that. And obviously,
well,
every
even
state
more
is
so
doing
as
different.
An attorney, you know that. Like maybe they're not. Maybe the government doesn't go straight to Louisiana and say, hey, we need everybody's name, you know, but I think it gets even more dangerous when, say, I am accused of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, hey, send me Laszlo's porn history.
Yeah.
Right? Now we're like, oh, wait, why? Well, now, I mean, we're starting to get into like real kind of, I hate to use the term slippery slope, but real kind of scary shit, right?
It's extremely scary shit, and this is the reason why the United States Supreme Court already took up this battle and already ruled that this sort of age verification was unconstitutional. We have already had this case. This already happened, but the states are ignoring it because what the states are hoping, much like what happened with Roe versus Wade, is that the very conservative Supreme Court is going to overturn Supreme Court precedent, and ultimately deem this as constitutional. This is unconstitutional, gentlemen, and that's why there's a legal challenge going on right now. It's why the case that's going in the Fifth Circuit, well, right now it's in the Fifth Circuit. It will be going up to the U.S. Supreme Court. They will be seeking that right, probably, I'm assuming, here in the near future, as they should. But all of these politicians that are behind this are ignoring the case precedent that already exists on this issue.
So what about different states have different laws? And there's also, even just in my home state of Missouri, in the articles that I've read, there have been different proposals. One of the proposals that I read, and I think that they said, I could be wrong, but I think that they said this one was the one that was proposed by the Democrat. But the idea that, okay, we're going to, this is going to be left up to the ISPs, to your internet provider. So when you, it sounded to me like what this person was proposing is, when I sign up for internet, I tell whoever my provider is, the cable company, whoever's sending me my internet, do I want unfiltered access to the internet or do I want it restricted? But it wasn't clear to me, like, are you then asking the internet provider to say, okay, well, these computers or these devices can have unfiltered access, but these devices can't, and then you're putting it on them. But it did seem like they were leaving it in this proposal up to the internet provider. Is that any better? Is that worse? What are your thoughts on that?
You see, this is where, again, I'm so happy that you guys are having this conversation. And again, I wish more, when I say, you know, more of the big media sources, like you said before, like the CNNs, the Foxes, I wish they would allow these discussions to take place on their shows. But now you're having it. And this is the crux of the question. You're basically getting to the root here, and it's saying, okay, well, what's the best way to go? How do we actually address this issue? And now you're asking the right question.
Okay.
And that's what these politicians should have been asking. They shouldn't have just been implementing their rules and saying, well, we're just going to say what it is you can look at and what you can't.
Yeah, because I saw your quote. I don't have your quote in front of me, but I know that you had said, look, this is a discussion worth having. This just isn't the right way to go about it.
Exactly. And there is a conversation to be had here. Look, are there solutions here? Yes. Let me give you the perfect of example of how these runaway laws can get completely out of control. Recently, Ohio had proposed, you guys, I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, but you're going to love this one, to actually charge them who viewed pornography underage with a crime.
Sure. Oh, I thought you were going to say $5.99.
Right. No, I thought that for half a second, too. I was like, how are they going to get those credit cards? I have to get those green credit cards.
$5.60 on the card, make this work.
Yeah, I went through that whole
thought
process.
It was like $1.50 for smokes when I was a kid. Same thing. Like, all right, I'm in.
No, the great state of Ohio had an idea. Their brilliant idea was, okay, if someone who's in the state of Ohio goes to a porn site and clicks a box that says, yes, I'm over 18, and they're not, that is now a criminal offense, and they should charge them.
Well, in defense of Ohio, and I don't like Ohio, I personally think it's a shithole, but in defense of Ohio, when I was under 18 and the internet was new and I clicked that, you know, box, if it popped up, I'm just going to tell you guys the truth. This is embarrassing. But when those boxes popped up, I went, shit, because I thought if I say yes, I'm probably breaking the law and I'm going to get in a lot of trouble because the internet was new. I didn't know. So I had to look for the websites that didn't ask me, that didn't prompt. And of course, eventually my friends were like, just click yes. It doesn't matter. I'm like, are you sure? And like, I'm positive. Oh, okay. That's fine. So there was a thought. Now, granted, I was a child, but there was a thought back then. I was like, I'm probably breaking the law if I do this. Ohio just went with it. Ohio's like, we will make it a law and we will charge minors for clicking the box.
Yeah, it was just a scary thing before, a scare tactic.
Yeah.
And you know, guys, but think about it. Think about the insanity of the proposed solution to start arresting and charging children.
No, of course. It's almost like you almost blow it off because it seems so absurd, right?
Yeah, but we blew off the idea that we were going to, you know, give someone who gets an abortion the death penalty 20 years ago, and then people in power started proposing it.
And it's crazy to think, because I have, and people who've listened to this program for a long time, I have made this argument over and over and over again. And the argument to me is always, if you take these laws, right, and nobody ever wants to follow them to their furthest conclusion. And I am shocked in the small amount of time that I have been making these arguments, 20 years, where I said, okay, so if you say abortion is the killing of a life, then if someone gets an abortion, then you have to charge the mother, the person who's pregnant, with murder. And then it has to be murder with special circumstances because it's a child, and the doctor, and the Uber driver, and everyone else with these murder charges. And forever, people be like, that's insane. And then not too long ago, they asked Donald Trump about it. He's like, yeah, we should do that.
Maybe we'll just give him the death penalty.
And then I made the argument, like, if you really believe everybody should have guns to fight the government, then you believe that we should be able to buy suitcase nukes at the trade show.
You know,
nobody ever said yes until recently. They're like, yeah. And now I'm like, well, are you saying we should just not have any that the government just decide, take this to its furthest case, then the government can literally decide what the people of the United States can look at, and what they deem inappropriate and not appropriate will be handled by governors in the states of Texas. Are you fucking kidding me? That's where we're headed? And right now, what I hear from people is that's not what we're saying.
We're restricting kids access.
Right. But soon, and 15 years from now, they're like, goddamn right they can. And I'm like, what are we doing?
And proposing charging kids with crimes in Ohio.
Right.
I'm going to actually vote that you be the guy that gets to make the argument in front of the Supreme Court when this goes in front of it, because you're hitting it dead on, and now, and you're getting it. And the problem is, though, is that by us having this conversation, we, you know, we're perverts and we don't, you know, we don't, we're terrible parents and we're horrible.
And it's funny because as soon as you said that, I thought, oh, shit, I can't imagine what they would dig up on me. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Sorry. You know what, though? But you know what? This is the conversation we should be having. The conversation that the three of us are having right now is the conversation that should have been had before they decided to pass a law that's just going to say, nah, screw it. We're going to tell you what you can show, what can be seen, what can't be seen. This is the conversation that needs to be happening. I put a question out there over and over again. Nobody ever answers it. But I answered it over again. I said, listen, as a parent myself, if I find out that my child looks at something inappropriate on her electronic device, whether it's a, you know, phone or, sure, or laptop, or, you know, with Elon, we're all going to have chips implanted in our heads here in right. a minute anyway. Whatever the hell it is, it's real simple. I take the damn device away. You get punished.
Right.
You get disciplined. The child gets disciplined for looking at something that their parents said they can't look at. There are already, and this is like, a lot of times I think these politicians, like, they don't go online and look at what products are available. There are already products available that any parent can install, and many of them are free,
right,
that will completely monitor what your child's looking at, or even before your child goes to a certain website, will require the parent to check a box to allow the child to do that. I mean, listen, I'll tell you guys something. This last week, my daughter has been she was home sick for a couple days, and I kept getting these notifications on my Apple device that my daughter's trying to download TikTok, and I kept denying it. I declined it over and over again. But me and my wife decided as parents, we don't feel she's mature enough, and we don't think, you know, that platform is good for her. We made that decision as parents, and then after she tried that and we declined it, you know, 17 times or however many times she asked us, we said, hey, now we're taking your phone away the rest of the day. Well, right. Why? Well, we're taking it away because we said no, and no means no. This is called parenting, gentlemen. Right. This is called making parents responsible for the upbringing of the next generation of people in our society. That's a parent's role, not the government's role. It is not the government's role to say, well, we're going to make sure that nobody can see this content now because we don't like it.
Right.
And again, look at the sponsors of these bills and look at how this started. You know, look at the states where this has kind of started. Of course, they're all red states where this has started. It started in Louisiana and then, you know, spread to Utah. But, you know, Utah is a whole other story. Right. We consider them their own.
Surprised they even have porn. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? We consider them their own little planet over there.
Right.
But when you go down the list and you look at the states that are doing this, if you want to get down to it and you want to start talking, you know, and having the open and honest conversations, the way that we're having this conversation right now, this is not the way to do it, gentlemen. This is not the way to do it. And this is a dangerous precedent that the government is going on when they're saying what someone could turn on their computer and look at. The internet is probably one of the greatest creations of our lifetimes. I mean, we're going to be gone, we're going to die, but history is going to look back as a creation of the internet as one of the most incredible inventions ever, because it allowed for the immediate sharing of information and data anywhere. And what more of an idea that, you know, comes behind and the First Amendment could you possibly think
right.
of? It's phenomenal. Right. But now the government's saying, well, wait a minute, we don't really like this internet thing anymore because you can see a little bit too much. And this goes deeper. I don't want to get too political because that's not why you guys are having me on the show. But look, when I look at the last election and I saw the war that started between Biden and Trump and suing Facebook and suing Twitter over who can say what and who control the media online, whatever, again, these are all examples of the government not liking what's going up online, and so they want to control the message. That is not what the First Amendment is. That's not what the internet's supposed to be. And frankly, as an American, that is not what America is all about.
Well,
that
what would you say to example. A parent? So we, you know, we do still have laws. You got to be 21 to buy booze. You got to be 21 to buy cigarettes. Would you say that in your perfect America, those laws also wouldn't exist because it would be up to the parents? The parents can decide if the kids are going to smoke. The parents can decide when the kids are going to start drinking.
I would turn around and ask you a question instead of answering that question.
Okay.
And I would say to you, at what age is a child allowed to sign up for the military, hold a assault rifle, sure, and be sent off to the front lines? Mm-hmm. I believe that age is what? Is it 18, I believe. So I'll pose that question by reminding you that we're the country that says it's okay for an 18-year-old to be trained to use a deadly weapon, go wherever to ultimately end someone's life, but we're telling them, okay, you're not mature enough, though, to make your own decision when it comes to drinking and cigarette
right,
smoking.
Right.
That's my answer to that question.
Well, I mean, and I think the answer, I don't know, but I've always thought that's fine. That makes complete sense. But just pick an age.
Right. When are you
pick
an adult?
Pick an age. Like, is it 18? Are we adults at 18? Are we adults at 16? Are we adults at 21? What fucking age is it? Because
just
you're right.
One,
like, I remember I joined the Navy when I was 17. So I got out before I was legally able to drink.
And this is
insanity.
And that is insanity. That is insanity. Because at 17, when you're in the Navy, you're being taught and trained how to kill people.
Yes.
We're saying that you are mature enough and you're smart enough to be able to decide when to pull the trigger and kill another human being. But in terms of whether or not we believe you're mature enough to consume alcohol or smoke a cigarette.
Right. Well, you know, I think you skip over it just a little bit, too, because I think you're saying that at 17, if you do pull the trigger and kill someone, you're emotionally mentally strong enough to handle the repercussions of what come from that. But you're not mentally strong enough to handle the repercussions of, you know, too much booze. What?
You know, I have a really close friend, a really great guy. He fought in Desert Storm.
Yeah, me too.
He was in the army. Went over to Iraq. Crossed over from Kuwait. Great guy. One of my closest friends in the world. I love him to death. And he tells me stories constantly about, you know, what they went through and stuff. And he tells me now. He says, Corey, the day that I had to pull that trigger, I can still smell what the air smelled like that day.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That's what he says to me. Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
Could you imagine being able to remember a smell for the rest of your life?
But
that's the sort of, you know, it's a broader question about individual freedoms. It's a broader question about common sense. And it's also, to kind of pull us back to what you guys are having me here to talk about today is, again, you know, people need to stand up and tell the government, like, this is unacceptable. The problem is that because the subject of this discussion is pornography and adult entertainment, frankly, nobody really cares. And the people who do care...
Let me argue that real quick. I think people do care. I think they're embarrassed. We are still so uptight about sex in this country. If you say you jack off, it is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
People are embarrassed. People would never say that. You don't talk about that. You don't say that, right? Like, it's an embarrassing thing. So what politician is going to... No politician in the world wants to get on TV and talk about masturbating. It's embarrassing.
Again, if these same politicians are the ones that believe that they can dictate and pass laws on what we all can look at, I think that every single one of them should have to give us an unredacted copy of their browser history for the last 3 years. Let's see what they're taking a look at.
Well, have you heard a proposal that you think sounds closer to something? It sounds to me like what I'm getting from you is you're okay with the, you do think that, you know, it makes sense that we figure out what the age is to be an adult, and then we set that age, and that's the age for the military and drinking and smoking and those things. But it sounds to me like for the online pornography that maybe that's a parenting thing, or I'm
or
not exactly
is
sure.
there some
or
sort
is there,
of
is there a way
something
to do it?
That you think, hey, we're having this discussion, that would work. That would limit access to people under the age of 18.
The fact is that a person's maturity level, you could have a mature 18-year-old and you could have an immature 18-year-old. I'm sure you guys remember when you guys were 18, you had some of your friends at 18 that were getting ready to, you know, run for the United Nations, and then you had the other group that was, you know, still trying to figure out how quickly they could finish a six-pack.
Right.
It's, you know, maturity is going to play into a big role in that. Is there any way that we can, you know, pick one number that's going to work for everything? No, that's impossible.
Okay, but is there a way to implement something on the internet that isn't infringing on people's First Amendment rights that limits access to people 17 and under?
It already exists.
And that's what you're talking about, the stuff that's on the phone and parents.
Third-party tools. Companies like Apple have done a phenomenal job in terms of, listen, like I said, my daughter uses an iPhone. I use an iPhone. And if she wants to do anything with her iPhone before she does, I get a prompt that tells me what's going on. I know exactly what's going on. I see her entire browser history. I see even the chat conversations that she's having with her friends. Me and my wife have access to it. This is what responsible parenting is. On the computer at home, there are numerous applications, free and paid. They offer different services where you can block certain things. You can only install certain browsers. There are safety browsers that can be put in with safety precautions. There are so many different things that are there, and there are so many reasons why parents need to become familiar with these tools, and we have to do a better job as parents. That doesn't mean that the government gets to just say, okay, well, since we feel that parenting isn't going very well, we're just going to block this and make sure that nobody can see it because we don't like it.
No, I'm with you. I was just, you know, curious if there was an answer to some sort. But if you're saying, look, I have two teenage boys. One will be 13 here in a couple of days. I don't put any of that stuff on it.
Yep.
They honestly don't have any restrictions on their phones. They don't.
Okay.
I tell them, when I gave them their phone, I said, hey, look, you know right from wrong. You know what you should be looking at, what you shouldn't be looking at. And here, I'm going to tell you that at any moment, I can ask you for your phone, I can look at it. And at any moment, I'll just take it and look at it.
Now, it's like knowing you can have your cell tossed, right?
At any moment, I'll take a look at it. I expect you to make good decisions. That's what I expect.
Now, how would you?
And those decisions are different for my 12-year-old and my 16-year-old, right? I mean, they're just different.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel if the government passed a law that said that because of the fact that you didn't put any blocking mechanisms on your kid's phone,
right,
you can now potentially be arrested and charged?
Right. I think it's ludicrous, because even though I think me and you are talking from the same side of the aisle, as it were, you clearly have more restrictions put on those types of things. I've always said that, and, you know, hey, parent, I also say, I'm not going to tell you how to raise your kid because I don't have the proof yet that my way works. I'll probably be dead and gone by the time we'll be like, hey, look at that. That kid turned out all right. So we have no idea. But I'm doing the best I can. And so obviously that would be ludicrous, but I've always lived in I've said it before. I'm trying to raise my kids in the world that we live in, not the one that I grew up in.
And that is what you just nailed again. You nailed it. And this is exactly the reason why the thinking that's coming from the drafters of these bills is so broken. They are not understanding what the world is today. They are ignoring it.
Right.
And their solution is to restrict content. And they want to say, screw it. We're going to say what you can look at. We're going to say what you can't look at. This is where my massive problem is, and this is where everything has gone horrendously wrong.
Right.
The problem that I see with where things are going right now, and I want to go back to a point you made a couple minutes ago. God, I feel like I'm interviewing you. But you said something a few minutes ago that actually is really sticking in my brain. And this is, again, with regard to you made the decision as a parent, as a parent, you know your child better than anyone else in the world to, you know, let your kid use a cell phone the way you see fit as a parent. Mm-hmm. And again, I really want you to think about this world that these politicians are trying to create, and that is a world where they are saying, no, you can't do that.
Right.
We're going to dictate the message. The parent doesn't dictate the message. We dictate the message.
Right. And that, I mean, as we get deeper into this subject, that really undercuts me as a parent. Because, well, you're saying, hey, I'm going to limit this stuff and I'm going to see what you do and what you don't do. The opposite side of that is me as a parent. I'm saying I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust you until I can no longer trust you. Now, neither one of these ways is right or wrong. Who knows, right? We'll, you know, like I said, we'll be dead and gone before we figure out. And maybe both of them work or maybe neither of them work. Who knows? But what I'm not into is the governor of Missouri telling me that my way of parenting is wrong when they have no proof that their way is right.
I'll do you one even better. Forget about it from a kid's perspective. The next time you want to go, you're an adult. I have no idea how old you are. You sound like you got some pep in you. You're probably, what, 40s, 30s?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so I'm close.
Sure, both.
All right, so you got some pep in you. You're in your 30s, you're 40. If you want to go and you want to look at an adult entertainment site, that's your choice. That's your right. Mm-hmm. If you want to go right now, if you take a trip right now to anywhere in the state of Texas and you try to go to Pornhub,
right,
you're not going to be able to see it anymore.
Right.
You can't see it anymore because the government has done something that has made it impossible for the website to comply. And
right. Which, again, doesn't seem like
the real,
very popular, but yeah, I guess we'll wait and see. Because like you said, people aren't going to want to talk about it.
But that's the real goal, gentlemen. That's what the real goal here. Don't fall into the propaganda. It is propaganda for these politicians to get up on their soapboxes and say that these laws are all about protecting the children. That is bullshit. I would love to, if you guys could pull any of the drafters on these bills on your show, I would have a debate with them on your show. No problem. No restrictions. Right. It won't happen though, because they don't want to. They don't want to because they know I'm right. And they know that they're wrong. But the fact is that they have a base that they're trying to put. They have a message that they're trying to push, which is all about right-wing conservatism. That's what they want to do. And they're going to keep doing it. And they don't care. But
well,
that's
can
the
I
reality.
Clarify something real quick, just in case I end up, you know, at Chili's tonight and get into a debate? I want to make sure that I'm clear on this. And I'm not a parent. I don't have kids because, you know, my sex ed was porn, so I've been doing it wrong the whole time. But
in some cases, that actually probably makes you smarter than everybody else. But mm-hmm. you know, it's besides the point.
Well, you guys are talking about, you know, the ability to make decisions as parents. So just to go back to that one proposal that I read about. If let's just because I as a lawyer and just from what I'm what I've gathered from you so far in this interview, if they said, okay, here's what we're gonna do, we're gonna pass this law that says the internet provider has to offer an option to the customer that says, do you want unfiltered access or not? And if somehow the unfiltered access, you know, porn slips through or whatever, the internet provider is not punished for that. It's not, you know, they're just supposed to try, basically, and we're not going to crack down on them too hard because all we're asking is you got to give them an option. Do they want unfiltered access or not? Does that still give the parent the choice? Doesn't that still give the parent the choice because they're saying yes or no?
I think that would be a much more rational option than what the government is doing.
Okay.
And remember that we already have Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act, which is going to protect internet providers anyway. We already have law in the books. The government was smart enough years ago to realize that we needed internet providers, that we needed them to be immune from certain claims so that they could operate. That's, again, this is what's known as Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. I call it the First Amendment of the internet. Section 230 is another one of the most key pieces of American legislation we have in the internet world. And what all of these laws are trying to do is they're trying to cut right through it. They're trying to piss all over it. They're trying to get past it so that, again, they can start dictating what the content's going to be. Your idea is actually something that makes sense. your idea makes sense. It's
would it still make sense if they said now there could be some sort of punishment if the ISP, you know, doesn't actually in good faith make an attempt to make that work, or if they do let porn go through the filtered version?
I think there should be requirements to act in good faith. I do believe that should exist, and there should be some level of requirements. But the problem is every time we try to allow someone to start making rules like that, they go too far.
Right. Of course, that's
and
the
then
problem.
And then it becomes a question of, okay, well, what is acceptable content? And now are we giving too much power to our ISPs?
Right.
And, you know,
right.
And are we now saying, you know, who are the biggest ISPs in their country? AT&T, Xfinity,
Spectrum, yeah.
Comcast,
Spectrum.
Those are the big boys. And we have to be careful because if we give them too much power, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this goes to the argument that, you know, people have been making over the years about the media and about large corporations having too much control. We're giving them too much control and we're letting them control the dialogue. So we have to be careful.
Yeah.
But the point is that we just had for the last 5 minutes a rational dialogue about a solution, not a solution that dictates that you're going to do this and you're going to require someone to show four forms of identification and give a blood sample before they get to look at a boob.
Right. I'm so glad that we got your opinion on this in detail, because I feel like the two arguments are, you know, there's people who are for it. Yeah, porn is not a no-cost thing. Kids shouldn't be looking at it. And then you've got the people who say they're against it. And I feel like the people who say they're against it, it's this privacy concern. Well, now the government's going to know when I look at porn. And I'm thinking, you know, unless you're using a VPN, you've already got an address on your computer. Your internet's already got an address. The cops can ask for that stuff. They do ask for that stuff when crimes are committed. I mean, you know, that stuff is already, most people at least, a lot of the same people who are like, well, then they'll know what websites I visited. I'm thinking, someone already knows what websites you visited. I mean, that's already there. That's already logged. So, that is an argument I understand. And I understand that we have probably been a little too easygoing about just giving up privacy in this country, and that we haven't done enough to try and protect our privacy here. But I like that you're kind of steadfast in your belief that no, that this is really about limiting speech. That's what this is about. That's the problem that you have.
This is limiting free speech. That's what this is. I'll tell you a story that you guys might actually like for your show, and I'm gonna edit the story just a little bit, just because of, you know, client confidence and stuff. So I have to be a little bit careful. But but years ago, I represented a large adult entertainment platform, responsible platform, and I was sitting in my office one day. Now, oftentimes at the bottom of these websites, there's a link that you can click on for law enforcement requests, if you know there's subpoenas or anything like that, who to contact, and my office would be listed.
Is that like if you think you see someone underage or something like that?
Stuff like that.
Okay.
Yes, underage or a violation of copyright.
Or if it's a video of you that you don't want on there.
Okay, sure.
You mean the video of you, not me.
Well, a video of me and you.
I didn't say that. You did. So I'm sitting in my office and my phone rings and I get a call and my assistant tells me who's on the phone. And I said, it's a joke. It's a crank call. It's fine. We get, you know, I'm a First Amendment attorney. We get crazy calls all the time.
Yeah, we don't really have a show. We've just been talking to you.
Well, we're
sitting at a bar right now.
Well, so my phone rang. I go, okay, whatever. Sure, I'll take it. So this guy gets on the phone, heavy Southern accent, heavy, heavy, heavy Southern accent. And he did the same thing you did. He mispronounced my name, and he's like, is he a Silverstein?
Man, fucking like, douchebag. No.
God damn it. Well, some people say Silverstein, some say Silverstein. I don't know.
So I said, no. I said, this is Silverstein, but, you know, you got the right guy. So I'm all ears.
Mm-hmm.
And he, again, in the thick, I can't do a Southern accent, so I don't want to try to butcher it, because then what'll happen is someone will make a meme of me and I'll be a joke of the internet. But he says, well, we have a problem. I said, okay, I said, what's the problem? He said, I just got my credit card statement and your client's website is on my credit card statement and I did not subscribe to your site. And I said, okay. I said, not a problem. Let me talk to my client, see what's going on. He says, let me tell you one more thing. And he called me son. I remember the conversation because he called me son. He goes, you understand who I am, right? I said, yeah, I, if you're who you say you are, I understand who you are. And he said, there's going to be all sorts of problems. if this doesn't get fixed. And I said, okay, all right, whatever. Called my client. I said, let's do an IP search. Let's find out exactly who, when, what, how it was that this subscription was purchased. And we did it, and we got the data, and then we got the IP address, and we actually got a really good exact IP address to one of this guy's houses. And so I get back on, and I give him the address, and I say to him, I say, who's Mrs. So-and-so? And he goes, what do you mean? I go, well, it just so happens we traced this address to this female, and you know, this is her address, and she used your credit card. It was the guy's sister. It was his damn sister. And so I said to him, listen, I said, I understand why you're mad, but I think you've got a domestic problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Not a problem with me and my client. Never heard from him again.
Of course not. And I wonder in that scenario if the sister didn't have a credit card, you know, bad credit, or if she's like, I don't want to put porn on under my name. I'll just put it under my brother's name. You know, I've got his credit card right here.
Listen, if I told you the site, we would be having a whole other conversation because I remember the site.
Right.
And I can assure you, gentlemen, that this was not your straight-laced rated R or rated XXX.
Right.
This is your rated XXX plus XXX.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure I have a membership.
Right. I'm sure I was probably there within the last 48 hours.
I promise you, sir, whatever she was looking at ain't shit to me.
No, I mean,
this is the sort of thinking. This is the sort of stuff that I remind myself of, that I say, listen, again, I challenge any one of these politicians that are sponsoring these bills, please send us an unredacted copy of your browser history for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, I do have a question when you were telling us that last story.
Yeah.
If you were to tell us that guy's name, not that you're going to, would we know it?
We could look him up, it sounds like.
Is he out of office? You could look him up.
Yeah.
So okay. We're not going to do that.
No, I don't want you to do it. Just I wasn't sure because the way you said, like, while you were telling the story, you said, do you know who I am?
Right.
Right. And then I was like, should we know who he is? But then I wasn't sure maybe we shouldn't. So, right, yeah.
Oh, no, I'll tell you this. He was 100% an elected official.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So we are talking 100% about an elected official here.
Yeah. I mean, it can be embarrassing. Look, we've had this whole conversation. We've been very open, and we're pretty open on our show about, you know, our use of pornography.
Right.
But even, you know, I've had times where the credit card company, where my credit card gets stolen and someone buys gas in another country or whatever, and you have to call the person, and then she's like, now I need to go through some of these purchases. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, you know, was the gas station on this date? Yeah, that was me. Was the doggy daycare? Yeah, that was me. And she's like, bigwetbutts.com. And I'm like, no, that wasn't me. You know, there's still kind
right,
of that,
sure.
You know, we can have this conversation here, but there still is a stigma, and I shouldn't do it. I should grow up. I'm 40 years old, but I still, you know, every time I have to do one of those calls and they go through the list, I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and get those knocked off the credit card there.
And you know what's funny too? A lot of these politicians that are coming out with, you know, for example, in Texas, they came out with a labeling requirement as part of their law that required the websites to put on there that, like, the viewing of pornography will, you know, turn you into a sociopath. The viewing of pornography will lead you to more likely being a wife abuser ever. Anyway, all those were challenged, and the Fifth Circuit, which, you know, extremely conservative, shot those down and said, yeah, I don't think so. These labeling requirements are ridiculous. The people that they got, their so-called experts, are a joke. Their so-called experts are individuals who have been, you know, writing anti-pornography, anti-left-wing view papers their entire careers.
Right.
There is no real shred of
science.
Evidence behind any of the nonsense that they're saying. In fact, the example you gave a minute ago, you know, you said, you know, you should grow up at 40 years old. But actually, if you talk to qualified therapists, they will actually tell you that the viewing of pornography can actually lead to an incredibly healthier sex life and a better relationship with your spouse.
Yeah.
So as much as
But the lady at the credit card company didn't need to know that. That's a lot for me to explain to her, you know, when I'm like, let me tell you, I did purchase Big Wet Butts, but you got to understand, my sex life is better, and I'm probably more mature because of it.
I'm just meeting you now, so I, you know, this is our first time you and I have met. For all I know, you know, maybe the credit card, you know, maybe you did it on purpose to talk to the credit card lady. I don't know what you got going on.
Wow, you know me pretty well. You know me pretty well.
But the point is, again, is that, you know, they want to present these so-called experts that'll, you know, testify that, you know, pornography is terrible, and if a child sees it, they're going to turn into the next Jeffrey Dahmer or whatever. And I say to them, what scientific evidence do you have to establish that? And then, though, when you actually go and you talk to credible doctors, credible sociologists, credible psychologists who will talk to you about how an educated life and actually being sexually stimulated throughout your years is far more healthy. And so they can play the game, and they can come up with, you know, the far right, you know, extreme experts all day long, but I can counter those with, you know,
sure, other experts, right?
Right. For each one of them.
And the biggest problem with them is they're saying all these things, but at the same time, you know, they're saying, well, kids are using this as it's sex education for them, and that's not a good education. Well, then why don't you fucking teach sex education? You don't want to teach sex education. So, yeah, you're right. It does become the only sex education that kids get.
Well, they can't anymore. Right. Every time the schools try to,
that's what I mean. These politicians, education. I'm saying, you politicians, why don't you teach in your state sex education? You know, if that's such a huge issue that you're concerned about, but they're not going to do it.
No.
The videos, do you guys remember, you guys might remember this, do you guys remember the old horrible sex ed videos we had to watch in school?
Yeah,
like the
course.
Terrible ones, like with the cheesy music, yeah. And the when someone loves the other person, all that,
yeah,
nonsense.
Right.
They can't show those videos in school anymore because people have said that they're inappropriate,
right.
And that they scar us for life and
right.
Damage us. And
you know, I think they do. When they start telling you sex is only for two people who love each other, that's
bullshit.
A fucking nightmare.
Yeah. Luckily, by
ruined half my life.
My school didn't do that.
I'm just getting to know you guys, but listen, I saw some. You know, I remember some of those videos, and I'm just like, "What? So what?" But
right.
Now, you know, if schools or education systems want to try to do that and want to, and I'm saying this seriously now, if they want to try to give any sort of sex education, they get shit on.
Yeah.
They get destroyed.
Yep.
They get concerned parent groups showing up to the parent teacher meetings. Calling for the school superintendent to be fired because how dare they have a conversation about condoms in
exactly.
School.
Right. Right. And then any of these whatever so-called experts, if they want to say, look at what porn does, I think you could easily say, well, even if you're right, how do you not know that that's a result, or how do you know that that's not a result of never teaching anything about sex to kids while they're kids? You know, it's of course hypocritical and ridiculous.
Right.
We are losing focus as a society of what is happening here. And we are losing focus because there's a voice that just happens to be yelling louder about something right now. And like you said before, you know, I said it's because, you know, we don't care. And you're probably right. It probably is less of that. And it is more of the stigma and the embarrassment. But what you said is spot on. If you make porn and the conversation about sexuality so dirty and so horrible, that, you know, you try to make it sound like everything and, you know, everything in sexuality and porn is a dirty mattress in the middle of a room with half used syringes lying on the floor. If that's how they want to make it all, and that's what they want to do, but that's not what it is. That's not what pornography is. That's not what adult entertainment is. And unfortunately, the narrative that's getting out there and these sorts of laws are so fundamentally broken and contravene with the First Amendment that I want to send all these politicians back to law school, all
right.
Of them. Send them back to First Amendment. You know, the First Amendment in most law schools is an elective class. I want to send them all back.
Yeah.
And they should all have to pass it again because at some point or another, they seem to have forgotten what the fundamental principle of what our society is in terms of freedom of expression and speech. They have completely lost sight of that.
Corey Silverstein, thank you. Stein.
No.
Stein. Damn it. I sat there and thought about it before I said it, and I still got it wrong.
God,
I apologize.
Oh.
I know. I'm that schmuck from – I can do a Southern accent because I'm from a little further south than y'all up there in Michigan. But if you're looking for a lawyer, I mean – sounds like he knows a lot of porn stars. I mean, we didn't get into the details, but it sounds like he's
– yeah, I can imagine.
Sounds like a fun office.
You get a free membership to everything?
I have no comment.
Okay. Well,
I would tell you guys, I'm pretty active on social media. You can find me on Twitter. It's at my adult attorney. Pretty easy. Just my adult attorney. You know, you can always, you know, hear what my thoughts are there. I don't have hundreds of thousands or millions of followers like you guys do.
Well, you're about to. After this program, you're about to.
But you guys, listen, again, I actually owe you guys a debt because the subject matter, you know, we joked around a lot today during this conversation. And, you know, that's an important thing also. But on a serious note, the fact that you guys have the courage to on your show with the audience that you have to actually talk about this. That's what the First Amendment is all about, gentlemen, and you guys are doing it. And I hope that, you know, the other media people out there that listen to your show and hear this episode will say, you know what, this is a pretty interesting topic. Maybe we should talk about it too and take these guys' lead. I hope we accomplish that.
Wow,
today.
Thank you. Courageous. I appreciate that. Yeah. And maybe someday, you know, we can have you back on the program and talk. We can talk about the TikTok ban or whatever. We've always wanted to have a lawyer on the show. Now we got a lawyer. He's got a good phone, good connection.
Yeah.
He's fun to talk to. He knows porn stars. I mean, you could be our guy.
If you guys want, you know, if that's what you guys are looking for and you want some other guests on the show in terms of performers, you know, I'm happy to introduce you to some who'd be happy to talk to. But all kidding aside, the TikTok ban, since you brought it up, is also one of the most ridiculous things that I've seen our government try to do.
I think we know what our next conversation with you will be
about.
Right,
the TikTok ban.
Yeah,
and then you're going to argue about why you're banning it from your daughter.
But that's my choice as a parent.
I know, but I'm for the government saying you can't.
Yeah, the government should.
The government should tell you
TikTok
that your kid can watch whatever they want.
How else are they going to get this Chinese propaganda?
For the U.S. government to say to a company, we're going to ban your product unless you sell it to another owner? Oh, Jesus. Come on.
Sounds like we could have a conversation.
What the hell are we doing, gentlemen?
Corey, can I call you Corey now? I feel like we're friends and I fucked up your name twice, so.
You can call me anything you guys want. Corey's fine, though.
Appreciate you. At my adult attorney, if people want to follow you, and I hope that we'll talk with you again soon.
Yeah, soon.
It would be my pleasure, gentlemen.
Right,
absolutely.
Appreciate you.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
And that is it. Thank you so much for listening. Toxic and Problematic is brought to you by Mitra 9 Kratom and Kava. Visit Mitra-9.com and use promo code PROBLEMATIC for 25% off your order. Thank you to Direct Computer Outlet in Mission, Kansas for making our Twitch stream possible. Music graciously provided by Kid Computer. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.